there, and welcome to North Shore Sports Night. I'm Rick Moore, along with our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky. This presentation of MSO News Sports is brought to you by Sylvan Street Grill. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill. Honeydew Donuts, the only way to go. Enjoy the local flavor. Moynihan Lumber of Beverly, North Reading, and Plashtown, New Hampshire. Moore GMC of Danvers, serving the North Shore since 1969. Harrington Trophy, rewarding the North Shore for over 25 years. Attorney Robert J. Madruga, see Bob for all your estate planning and tax preparation. Gloria Food Store, consistently Beverly's number one deli. Lynn Museum, 590 Washington Street in Lynn, combining with Lynn Arts, building a vibrant cultural center in downtown Lynn. Columbia Insurance of Lynn, offering auto, home, condo, renters, and business insurance. The Porthole Restaurant. The Porthole provides a great dining value, combining quality with quantity on the Lynnway in Lynn. The Lynn Auditorium, one of the premier entertainment venues in the state. The Daily Item of Lynn and itemlive.com. The Daily Item serving the North Shore since 1877. Okie dokie. Let's kill the music here. So there we go. Another mild day on the North Shore, of course. A little bit of weather in the forecast. We have running our weekly storm coming up. Similar pattern to last year, of course, except without the 3 feet of snow each time. Where's the wood? I just knocked on the wood. Well, tonight we resume our sportscast. Tim Kearns not able to make it again tonight, but we'll talk to Tim later on by phone. A lot of people lined up for this evening. We'll see how it goes. Marblehead Bob Jackson is scheduled. Marblehead hockey coach Bob Jackson is scheduled to start our program off today. Talk to Gary Larrabee, bringing Gary back on board. Gary Larrabee at GaryLarrabee.com. Talking golf and basketball, I think. We'll also chat with Linfield hockey coach John Gardner. I talked with him just before the program got underway, so that is recorded, but we'll play that during the program. Nick Kukru, we're scheduled to talk with the Gloucester Times sports editor. Andy Carboni talked with Bill Newell earlier about baseball, so we'll run that interview too. And then we'll see if we can fit Tim Kearns in there too. So a very, very full show this evening. We hope that you will be part of it and listen in. If you have suggestions, ideas, comments, or complaints, you can send them along to msonewsports@gmail.com. msonewsports@gmail.com. And Bill and I will be happy to take a look at that stuff and get back to you, for sure. The tournament is coming up, the state tournament coming up, of course, hockey and basketball pairings this weekend, but everybody else is playing too. You've got your field hockey. No, your field hockey. Give me a break. You've got your indoor track. There we go. Indoor track, swimming, volleyball, wrestling, all that good stuff. Not volleyball, but wrestling and indoor track also taking place tournament-wise coming up. So all of that is on the table. We'll take a break here and come back with Marblehead hockey coach Bob Jackson. The Headers, of course, a top Division II with a terrific record of 20 wins, 0 losses, and 1 tie. And no one is even close to that in Division II in terms of wins. The next closest teams actually are Medfield and Canton. Each of those teams has won 14, and so has Bishop Feehan. So Medfield, Canton, and Bishop Feehan in Division II are the 14 game winners. And Boston, Latin, and Tewksbury each have won 13 games, and then that's 12 after that, a bunch of teams with 12 wins. So Marblehead, far and away, the leader in terms of wins, 20 wins, 0 losses, and 1 tie in Division II hockey. And we'll take a look at basketball as the week goes on. Bill and I hope to look at some of the tournament teams in the area more closely and have some features on them on our website. And again, please take a look at the website, and Bill has still lots and lots of interviews and materials up there from the weekend over both our college and high school coverage. So take a look at all the other stuff that's posted, and of course that amazing video of a fire in Revere that took place on Saturday morning. Really looked really, really bad. No injuries, though, and Bill's got some terrific video of that. So we'll take our first break and right back with Marblehead hockey coach Bob Jackson. You're listening to North Shore Sports Night on MSONewsSports.com. Again, I'm Rick Moore, producer and engineer Bill Proposky, and we'll bring on Tim Kearns in just a while. Tim, unable to make it again tonight, but we'll get him on.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. One of the ways to judge a company is in its staying power. At Moynihan Lumber, we've been doing our thing now for 55 years. Serving all of Greater Boston, Moynihan Lumber offers lumber and building materials, doors and windows, decking, kitchen cabinets, and Ace Hardware. Visit Moynihan Lumber at any of our three locations in North Reading, Beverly, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Hi, this is Jeff Klickstein, General Manager at Moore GMC in Danvers. Did you know that we're a family-owned and operated dealer that's been serving the North Shore since 1969? When you come to see us, you're treated like part of our family. GMC has a great lineup with Sierra pickups, the ever-popular Acadia, and the redesigned 2016 Terrain. We are the dealer that will provide you with the best buying experience possible. We are conveniently located off Route 128 at Exit 23, 80 High Street in Danvers. I personally invite all of you to come in, come visit us, see why our customers keep coming back for all their automotive needs.
People come in, take a seat, you're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street, a great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. Treat you right, day or night, satisfy your appetite, eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
The Sylvan Street Grill has a great new Game Time menu featuring delicious new dishes, specials, and all-time favorites, too.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
The Bradford Tavern, the Rowley Destination Restaurant, featuring many modern touches, nestled in a rustic setting, offering the finest steaks, seafood, and many quality daily specials. The Bradford Tavern is open 7 days a week from 11 a.m. to midnight, serving lunch and dinner. See you soon at the Bradford Tavern in Rowley, 89 Haverhill Street, Route 133. And check us out at bradfordtavern.com.
Hello, sports fans. This is Wally, the voice of Honeydew Donuts. All right, you're getting ready to go to a game. I don't care if it's morning, afternoon, or night. Don't forget, stop into Honeydew Donuts and get yourself a cup of coffee. How about that large iced coffee? That Mocha Madness one is unbelievable. You'll think you went to Honeydew Heaven. So remember, you heard it here first on MSONewsSports.com. And remember the name. It's Honeydew Donuts, the only way to go.
Okay, we're back now, and we're joined by Marblehead hockey coach Bob Jackson. Coach, welcome back. How are you?
Oh, thank you very much, Rick. I appreciate everything you've done for us this year.
Oh, thank you, Coach. It's been so much fun this season. Now, are you scouting someone right now?
I'm just watching a middle school team. They're playing at Salem State against Peabody for the championship of the middle school league that Billy O'Neill runs over here.
Oh, okay, very good. All right, I won't keep you long then, but first of all, Bob, congratulations on really a spectacular year, 20-0-1. I don't know what to say except congratulations. Just a fantastic job for you and your kids.
Well, thank you very much, and, you know, I have to take my hat off to the kids. I think the kids, you know, have really pulled together and played well as a team this year, and they've done everything they needed to do to stay one goal ahead of the opponents except for one game. So, yeah, I can't complain.
No, I no, you know what, but Coach, I'm sure as a teaching moment you'll find something that you can teach the kids about. I won't say complain. But, Bob, one of the big things about your team this year is that you're able to rotate so many kids in. I mean, obviously your first line, your first two lines are excellent, but you've got so many other kids that have played and contributed. So that has to really feel good going into the tournament as well.
Well, I agree 100% with you. You know, right from the start, we always sit there and say that the team's only as good as 20th or 22nd or 23rd players, depending on, you know, what we carry that year. And usually everyone contributes. You know, we get a system in there, and we want everyone to, when you sit in and if somebody's out sick or something like that, we won't have a whole domino effect of moving people around. We'll protect somebody from their line and move them right up to the first line. So we have the confidence in it, and it has been helpful to have three lines that can skate and have three lines that can score and six defensemen that have been keeping the puck out of the zone.
It's been a pleasure to watch, I got to tell you, as a fan. It's been terrific. And the conference, it looks pretty good this year. We've got some pretty good representation, I think. But one thing I noticed, Coach, I was talking to the Linfield coach tonight, and I've been talking to other coaches, and it looks like everybody has scouted Marblehead. Now, has Marblehead had a chance to scout others?
You know, that bullseye is really... I think at this time of the year, you try to get around and look at everybody that's going to make the tournament because you never know who you may face. And I think, have I seen everybody? No, but I've seen quite a few of the teams. I think over the next 10 days, we'll get a chance to spend a little bit more time focusing on actually who we need to concentrate on.
Now, Coach, you know, I know you guys don't have any more games lined up. Do you get videos of the other teams? How does that work out when you're trying to prepare for the tournament?
You know, just in football, we really don't get videos. If we're fortunate enough, like someone like your organization films something and we can, you know, look at a team that way, we get that fortunate that we're capable of doing that. There's a couple teams that use YouTube, so we're able to see some pictures that way, but we really don't exchange videos per se on opposing teams, so that's one of the disadvantages there. But it's pretty. I think one of the things is work ethic and preparation, and hopefully we'll be prepared, and the kids will bring the work ethic.
Absolutely. Now, final question for me, Coach, is what do you do this week? Do you pick out certain things you want to work on, or is it just business as usual?
Well, we've actually. Because Wednesday was our last game last week, and we do have a game against Somerville on Friday. We've been able to go back to square one and just go back to some of the basics, some of the things that maybe we've been overlooking or, you know, we just haven't taken a lot of time to focus on face-offs, change-ups, dumping it in, you know, really just going back to square one. If you ask the kids, probably a couple of our practices have been more on the harder version over the last two games than they have were the previous, you know, three quarters of a year.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not taking anything for granted. We'll continue to try to work hard. Kids have come each day to practice with a real good attitude, so that's all I can ask for.
Final question, Bob, for me, and I, as a teacher, every now and then, in fact, more often than not, a kid would teach me something along the way. Has this team taught you anything?
Every team teaches me something. This team has just taught me how to sometimes relax, Coach. We got it covered. It seems like the younger generation, the more and more younger that they get, they sit there and they figure it out a little bit. But no, this team has taught me a little bit about chemistry and character. I think there's been some leadership on this team of kids that the coaches see on a daily basis, but unfortunately they don't get their names in the scorebook or, you know, in game time, but they come out and they work and they make us a better team. And, you know, I'll sit there and one example is Josh Tassinari. I mean, we had one goalie come out and Josh volunteered to be a second goalie, and he's been tremendous all year for what he's done, and, you know, he doesn't really get enough of the recognition for how important his coming out to this team was. And then he actually was over in Israel last week, and we had another young man step up and put the pads on for the first time ever and play goalie for the past week. So, you know, I've got some kids that have been unselfish, and I think that's kind of rewarding.
That's great. That's fantastic, Coach. Bob, we're going to talk to you, obviously, before and during the tournament. And, again, I can't thank you enough for all your help this year, and we wish you nothing but the best. Go get them, Coach.
Well, thank you very much, Rick, and we enjoy what you do for high school hockey. Keep it going.
Thanks, Bob. Talk to you later.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye. That is Marblehead hockey coach Bob Jackson. Again, they are 20-0-1 going into the state tournament with one more game to go. Didn't realize that. They have Somerville on the schedule. Gloucester plays Somerville on Wednesday. Right now, the Headers have 106 goals that they have scored, and they have allowed only 33. And in the league, it was an even more impressive record, if I can find that. There it is. 8 wins, 0 losses, that one tie with Peabody, a 1-1 game. That's the only game in which they scored just a goal. They scored 32 goals in the league for 4-goal average, and they only allowed 10 goals in those 8 league games. So congratulations to Coach Bob Jackson and all of his team. A very impressive team this year, without question. A lot of fun to watch, we wish them well and all of our teams in the conference well and on the North Shore. Not necessarily just in the conference. We wish everybody well. Of course, not everybody can win, but you can get out there and do the best you can. It's been a great year. Hopefully we can talk about that with Nick Kukru. It's been a lot of fun to watch all these teams. So I've had a lot of fun doing it. Very impressive. Peabody impressive this year. Gloucester's done so well. Lynn has done well. Beverly has really come back and played well. Who am I missing? You know, Swampscott's played well. Saugus has won some games. Winthrop, oh, there's a sleeper. Winthrop having a sort of a rough start. They came on strong middle of the season on. Danvers playing. It's just a great league. So we wish everybody well who's in the tournament. And I thank all the coaches as well for helping us out this year. It's been great. We will cover as many schools as we can and as many schools as we are allowed during the tournament. And I think I have my list here. We have membership to cover Gloucester, Beverly, Danvers, Peabody, Lynn English, Marblehead, and Swampscott. So those are the teams that we can cover in all tournament action. So we will do the best we can with that. Okay, we'll take a break, come back, and bring in the great Gary Larrabee. You're listening to MSO News Sports on MSO News Sports. No, you're listening to North Shore Sports Night. Yeah, I need Tim here. Be right back.
Harrington's Trophy and Awards has been rewarding the North Shore for over 25 years. Hi, I'm Kevin Harrington.
And I am Marty Harrington, and we are known for our local family business, providing custom trophies, plaques, screen printing, embroidery, and much more. We offer a variety of services such as engraving wedding gifts, medals for charity walks, youth sports trophies and uniforms. From the newest style performance wear to your everyday work shirts, we are your one-stop shop. Whether it's a fantasy football, warm-up suits for your team, end-of-the-year banquet gifts, or recognizing excellence, we pride our business on our exceptional customer service and quality products. Located in Lynn, or visit our website at harringtontrophy.com.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. One of the ways to judge a company is in its staying power. At Moynihan Lumber, we've been doing our thing now for 55 years. Serving all of Greater Boston, Moynihan Lumber offers lumber and building materials, doors and windows, decking, kitchen cabinets, and Ace Hardware. Visit Moynihan Lumber at any of our three locations, in North Reading, Beverly, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at moynihanlumber.com.
Gloria Food Store is still Beverly's number one deli, and no matter what New England weather is thrown at us, Gloria is open. With fresh bread delivered from Sunray Bakery every morning, Gloria can provide party platters, calzones, hot trays, cold trays, salad trays, and finger sandwiches for whatever you have planned. Call in your order at 978-922-3613, stop in at 268 Rantoul Street, or visit GloriaFoodStore.com. All right, we're back, and now we bring back Gary Larrabee, who was our sports writer, sports historian that we rely on so much from March till about the end of October. And, Gary, welcome. How are you?
Doing great, Rick. It sure feels good. It almost feels like spring out there.
Well, it has on many occasions, and it depresses me because I haven't had a chance. I've had one day that I've been able to ski, but that's a story for another day. I read recently a couple of stories in the paper you've done, most recently the one when you sat with Tom Thibodeau, formerly of the Celtics in Chicago, I believe. So you've been covering some high school basketball, and Bill Newell has been doing the same. So what's on your mind? What can you tell me about what's going on?
Well, I've crossed paths with Bill a few times, and it's been fun because we've seen some very exciting games. But I'm pretty much on the Danvers High boys beat. I've been writing a blog for a few years about the Falcons. They've had this amazing run, as you know, Bill. Rick won three straight titles, three titles the last 4 years: two Division III, one Division II last year, and no North Shore team has ever done that on the boys' side. So it's been pretty exciting. And this year, after losing their big front three, their big three, 6'9", 6'5", and 6'4", all now playing in college, they have still posted a 16-4 record so far this year, Rick. And Wednesday night, their 21st and final regular season game, they play at Peabody, who just qualified for the state tour with a terrific win over Beverly yesterday. But Danvers needs this game to win the Northeastern Conference Large Division. This is their first year in the Northeastern Conference Large after winning the last four Northeastern Conference Small and the overall Northeastern Conference Championships. This year, of course, Salem and Danvers switched. Salem went to the Northeastern Conference Small. Of course, they have been perfect in the Northeast. They finished 16-0 in the conference. They're going to win Northeastern Conference Small. They finished, I believe, 18-2 overall. Couple of tough, tight losses to Lowell, Division I Lowell.
Right.
So we're very excited, even no matter what happens with Danvers Wednesday night. We're very excited about the Division II boys tournament coming up with Salem as a very strong threat to win Division II North. Beverly will be could be a force. They have all the instruments to be a force in Division II North. They beat Demas by 2 points a couple weeks ago. And even Demas, with no one larger than 6'1", they've won 4 of the last 5 since losing at Beverly, and they can win their 5th in their last 6 all-road games if they can knock off Peabody Wednesday night. They beat Peabody by a big margin the first time at Demas, but as you know, Rick, by the time that second round comes around, whether it be hockey, basketball, any sport almost, surprises can happen and teams can turn things around.
Well, yeah. Gary, the previous 2 years when Demas won the title and they went unbeaten last year to win the state crown, it seemed to me that Coach Walsh could flip a switch and the Demas could play any style of basketball that you could play in high school, whatever it was, whatever you wanted to do, large, small, run, half court, whatever it was, defense. What's their success this year, Gary, with the so-called small lineup?
It's been all about quickness, speed, denying the pass when they're on defense. They press. Everything is man-to-man. They do some trapping. They do some zone pressing. But primarily, they beat teams with their speed and quickness and their amazing propensity for stealing the dribble off of the rival players.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the other end, Rick, they're uncanny. I gotta believe they're the leading 3-point shooting team on the North Shore. They've made 182 threes in 20 games.
Wow.
And it won't be easy making threes over at Peabody with that very difficult back run if they're not used to that, obviously. But the offensive side, Rick, is about making threes. And the offense is designed to get open shots for open threes and also to spread out the defense so they can do a lot of penetration to the basket. They get some terrific drivers to the basket, like Devin Allen, Trey Crittenden, Rudy Francois.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been an amazing team. I've watched this team ever since John Walsh came on board. And arguably, this is the best team pound for pound and inch for inch they have had, because he had the last 4 years, he had either a big center in one of the Merry brothers.
Yep.
Or they had two-time All-Scholastic Devin Harrison in the last 2 years. So this is a completely new pitcher, but they're 16-4. They're 11 points, Rick, from being 20-0.
Imagine that.
So they have had, a phenomenal year, and they're looking to win that game Wednesday night to win their 5th in a row, Northeastern Conference Division.
That's amazing.
Should be interesting.
Gary, how important, you know, it's funny when you watch high school and during a game, it's like when Gostowski missed the kick, the extra point early on in the game, you say, yeah, you know, it's early on, so what? But how important is the free throw? Because sometimes in high school basketball, you see a kid who doesn't have a lot of points, but he'll go to the line and he'll put that sucker right through and maybe get 3 or 4 points, but they're huge points.
You're pretty good, Rick. As a hockey guy, you're pretty good sharing this basketball terminology with me tonight. I'm very impressed.
Okay.
No, seriously, it's a crazy, strange part of the game. Whether you're 6'9" or 5'6", whatever you are, you get to that foul line, and it looks easy. But get at that foul line when you get the fans making noise, and you've got 3 players lined up in each side of the lane. And you've got to make 1 or 2, or you might even have a chance to take 3 if you got fouled behind the 3-point arc without making the shot. And it ain't easy, my friend. It just isn't easy to make those free throws, particularly late in the game when the heat's really on. It's a wonderful quirk of the game of basketball when the game is usually running and jumping and sprinting and diving on the floor and trying to sky over the rim for a rebound or whatnot. But all of a sudden you have to play stops and you get to the foul line. It can be one of the most difficult things to do on a basketball floor.
Well, the other thing, too, is, as you said, you're running and you're sprinting, and all of a sudden everything comes to a stop, and everybody's looking at you. So, yeah, it's an amazing job that Coach Walsh has done over there. Now, you know, you've mentioned the top teams, Gary. How do you think the conference might do in the tournament?
Well, I think starting with Salem, you know, talk about great coaching the last several years. This is Walsh's 6th year. He has set all kinds of one-loss records that will probably not be matched for a long time here on the North Shore. He's like 121-22, I think, in the last 5, almost 6 years now. But Tommy Doyle has done a phenomenal job at Salem for the last, I don't know how many years he's been the coach, but They're a factor every year. This looks to be obviously his best team ever. They're not that far from being 20-0.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to be one of the co-favorites at worst to win Division II North and maybe follow in Damus's footsteps and bring another Division II state championship to the Northeastern Conference. I wouldn't be surprised if they have all the instruments in place. And Tom has done a great job handling those kids the last X number of years.
Absolutely.
It wouldn't be long overdue if it does happen. St. John's Prep's got another terrific team this year. Beverly, like I said before, could be a factor. Peabody's in the tournament. Lynn English is in the tournament. Lynn Classical's in the tournament. We had a terrific group of Northeastern Conference teams this year, but I think Salem and Damus have to be given the best bet in Division II.
Mm-hmm.
English is in Division I. They made a terrific run a couple of years ago. So it's going to be a great postseason on the boys' side from here in the North. Hamilton won them a perfect 25-0 last year. The Zagorowski brothers leave for Tilton Academy. The great Doug Hope retires on a fantastic winning note, the best you can do. And here they are this year, I believe, 13-3 or maybe 15-3. Another major factor this year, they're going to be in Division IV, which they won, of course, the whole thing last year.
Yeah, and I'm looking at your website, you're right up on the Masquinaman game, and you've got the record of John Walsh in there, and maybe you'd like to pass that along, because that is absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah, I may have the numbers. I don't have the numbers right in front of me, but he's around 120 and 20, something around there.
You have in here, in writing, 121 and 23. That's unbelievable. That's incredible.
And, you know, Damus never had any kind of success like this in basketball, and it's been a perfect storm in some respects, but there's no doubt that John Walsh, in his very first head coaching job, after 5 years as the assistant varsity coach at Watertown, that he knows what he's doing. But this year, I will make a huge declaration. This is going to be his best coaching job with such a small team, but he has adapted both his offense and defensive schemes to the fullest advantage with these kids. They have no conscience, as I wrote a couple of days ago on the blog, and they are just... They may not be denied. They may be the X factor in Division II again this year.
Fantastic, Gary. It's great to have you back, man. It's always good. But I'm looking at your blog, and I'm blown away by about Gary. And someday you got to tell us a story about Jack Lemmon. And is that President Bush there that you're with?
Yeah, I've had good fortune because of all my golf connections. We can talk about it during the golf season.
Okay.
I met Jack Lemmon twice when he was playing in the four ball over at Myopia with the late great Rick Humphrey, who was his Harvard classmate. Jack used to come back for that, and I met President Bush through Cape Arundel Golf Club up in Maine, where I've been friends with the head pro up there for many years. And of course, the head pro up there, Ken Raynor, has been like always the fourth in President Bush's foursomes before he became president and after he left office. And of course, he's now pretty much confined to a wheelchair.
Yeah.
But we're going to write a book someday, Ken Raynor and My Life as the President's Fourth.
Fantastic. I can't wait. All right, we got to talk more about that during golf season. But, Gary, thanks so much for lending your expertise today about high school basketball. It's been a real pleasure, and once again, I've learned a lot.
I know it's going to be a great postseason on the hockey side, too, but so we'll see how it all shakes down the next few weeks. It's March Madness, Rick, coming up next week.
Absolutely, and then a few weeks after that, we'll be talking about the Masters. Gary, can I count on you again to maybe be part of our Monday night programming?
Always available, Rick, always available.
You're awesome, Gary. Thanks so much, and stay healthy.
My pleasure. Be well.
Talk to you later.
Thank you.
Gary Larrabee of GaryLarrabee.com, sports historian, sports writer, and no one is more knowledgeable. I mean, there's a lot of guys maybe close to being as knowledgeable, but nobody's more knowledgeable than Gary. Okay, we'll take another break. Who's up next? Well, we'll have John Gardner, who is the Linfield hockey coach, coming up in just a minute. So stay with us. This is MSO News Sports. This is North Shore Sports Night on MSO News Sports.
Hi, this is Jeff Klickstein, General Manager at Moore GMC in Danvers. Did you know that we're a family-owned and operated dealer that's been serving the North Shore since 1969? Our service department ranks as one of the best in customer satisfaction because we respect our customers' busy schedule and we do repairs as quickly as possible with the least amount of inconvenience to you. We are conveniently located off Route 128 at Exit 23, 80 High Street in Danvers. I personally invite all of you to come in, come visit us, see why our customers keep coming back for all their automotive needs.
All right, joining us now on the program is Linfield coach John Gardner. And, Coach, welcome back. And wild game the other night.
Yeah, it's not how we exactly drew it up. You know, I knew our guys were coming off a high, qualifying for the tournament finally. We tried to get it out of them that we still had work to do and finish the season strong. We came out slow, kind of figured it out halfway through the second. And it was crazy at the end.
It was an amazing game. And I got to tell you, John, as a fan, it was a terrific high school hockey game to watch. It was, you know, you guys sort of had a big territorial advantage. You certainly threw your weight around. But Gloucester kept, you know, just finding an opening every now and then, like a turtle coming out of its shell and making it interesting.
Yeah, I mean, it's always difficult playing up on that sheet of ice. I know we warned our guys about, you know, the space and the width of the rink and the fact that Gloucester has a couple players that really look to take advantage of that 19 from the back end and Lions. I think our guys just it took a while to get adjusted to that. And even right down to the end, you know, I haven't seen us give up that many breakaways almost the whole year, and we did in one game.
I think one thing that's happening with Gloucester is their chemistry after working together for so long now. These kids have been together, and they can skate pretty well. You know, they're beginning to do actually blind. They know where each other is at the moment, and they got some pretty good speed with, as you mentioned, Lyons, Mahoney, and number 19 is Alex Enos, who hit the crossbar there with 1 second left. But your guys are pretty impressive as well. Dan O'Leary just never, ever quits, and he got that tying goal late in the game.
Yeah, he's got an absolute bomb. He tries to take advantage of the shot all the time. And he can lug the puck for a big kid. He's a, you know, 6'1", getting to about 190. And once he gets going downhill, he's hard to stop. So, you know, a real intense player. You can see when he scores, he loves delivering for his team. And that was a big goal. Sometimes my guys are a little guilty for just flat out going for it. You'd laugh during the timeout that they called. I mentioned wanting to go for it because we carried the play for most of it and came back. And my big thing was we don't need to go for broke and give up a half ice 2-on-1. It's my fault. I didn't say don't give up a half ice breakaway.
I know. So we have to be literal sometimes with kids, don't we?
Oh, absolutely. You got to list it all A to Z.
I know. Coach, I think it was very impressive about your team, and you mentioned it before the game to me with your rotating defensemen, your big three with Miller, Benson, and Mack. And boy, they had a superb game, particularly. From half ice on into the offensive zone.
Yeah, I mean we've made that switch recently. We had one of our other defensemen go down with an arm injury about 6 weeks in, and we were still consistently playing four or five. We converted a forward to D, and then subsequently switched him back because those three have shown that they can log the minutes and they're responsible enough to kind of break the shifts up so that no one's too gassed and having two guys come to the bench at the same time. So mm-hmm. I was a little disappointed with, again, you know, you get down. There was still plenty of time, and we didn't need to kind of push for turnovers as much as we did. That's how they ended up getting the second one right out of the gate in the second period. Our D were kind of getting up in the play and too tight a gap, or they get too wide where the other D could recover. So, but they do play well. They read the game well and pounce on pucks and start our transition game. But they've been great for us over the past two or three weeks.
Coach, the other thing that was pretty impressive, except for one lapse, your guys had a lot of self-discipline. There was a lot of chippiness going on out there, a lot of hitting, and a lot of extracurricular activity away from the puck. But your boys had a lot of self-discipline.
Yeah, I know. We always talk about that. You know, it takes character to kind of take a shot. And I don't know what happened to the good old just take a number and get them with a nice clean hit later in the game. Everyone needs to usually kind of flex their muscles and start talking and basically alerting the other team, like, I'm coming for you. But I know there was a couple hits that, you know, we got the wrong end of it. But the Lions kid had two nice hits. He's an under, you know, not a big kid. And he planted a couple of our bigger guys with their head down, not expecting it. And But our guys, you know, stayed pretty cool, and it was a 2-2 game. We were talking about preparing for the tournament. You got to keep your head, got to keep your composure.
Yeah, Lyons did. He had one check there at center with one of your kids' heads down. It was like, oh my God, ice there, Lordy. But you know, the other thing, John, going into the tournament, you do have three really good solid lines.
Yeah, we actually have four. One of our guys was at a personal family event. And I kind of shortened the group. So I believe in our fourth line. It's kind of hard to do that in the term and play your fourth liner down the stretch. But I mean, we got a lot of depth. That's why we've been able to sustain some big injuries halfway through the year. Now we're kind of getting healthy. So, but yeah, we have a deep team, and we even have some lines on the JV that are our quality lines that we're looking forward to having with us next year.
Very exciting hockey out there. And if you happen to listen to the game on demand on MSO News Sports, you're going to hear me call Linfield the Peabody Tanners about six times because, you play in the same rink, but, geez, you look a lot alike.
Yeah, they have a couple. Obviously, they have a Shaw kid who's a big kid. We got several. Cooper Marenghi for us is a big, rugged winger. Even, like I said, Captain Dan O'Leary, he's a big kid. Then we have some kids that aren't maybe the thickest kids, but just 6'1" and long, being on the forecheck. So we got a good mix of, and then we got a couple speedsters, so it's a nice mix that we got going, even on the back end. You know, as you mentioned, Jagger Benson can kind of scoop with the best of them, too, as a freshman. So,
absolutely.
We got a good mix of guys.
Absolutely. Coach, I know you're busy tonight, and you're going to – whoops, excuse me. I just knocked the microphone off here. You're going to be at the guard. You're going to bring some good luck to the Bruins for a home game tonight, I hope.
I got to tell you, I've been watching them my whole life and watching pro hockey, and I just this is one you can't – it's a head scratch. You can't figure out why they can't put it together at home. It's really you know, quite strange. I'm hoping they either figure it out or they slide down in the standings and get a 5, 6, 7 seat so they can play on the road.
Well, that win, there you go. I know when Stan Jonathan was on the team, they used to play better shorthanded than when he was out there. Anyway, I digress. But, you know, that win coming back the other night was amazing. I turned it off. They were down 3-1 late in the second, and I gave up on them, and they pulled it out. But, Coach, what do you have lined up now for this week as you get ready for the tournament and find out where you'll be?
We gave them a day off on Sunday to kind of reflect on the season, get healthy, kind of rest up. We practice today, and we're practicing straight through to the tournament. We have ice Tuesday through whenever the tournament starts.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll try and maybe put together a some type of scrimmage. If we can't find an opponent, maybe we'll get an inter-squad game. A lot of film that we'll be doing, a lot of, you know, we're actually going to go to the Boston Latin game tomorrow to check out those guys because they're one team that we could draw. We'll probably check out Tewksbury on Friday. We'd like to do our due diligence with preparation for
Fantastic.
Our opponents. So
yeah, well, I met your brother Jay at a Marblehead Winthrop game, and without giving anything away, how do you size up the Marblehead team? What's your take on them? Because I believe they're going to finish, if not at the top, they're going to be right up there.
Yeah, they're going to be number one, and the MO on them is they're offensive. They can score. They obviously have a great power play. I actually checked them out when they played Peabody and Tide, and you know, I think they're vulnerable, maybe because they're so good and they have the puck for most of the game. It's tough for their goalie to get going with maybe only 12 to 15 shots. So if he's kind of snoozing, you can maybe, you know, get one there, and if you can stay out of the box against them, like against any solid team, North Reading's in our league, and whenever we play them, if you take more than two or three penalties, you're in trouble.
Mm-hmm. Well, Coach, anything else you want to mention about the Linfield Pioneers before I let you go?
No, I just give my guys a whole lot of credit for plugging away our senior group. You know, we've been, you know, at this for 4 years trying to get in. Last year we missed by a game, so we're finally in, and I just hope we can, now that we're in and we punched a ticket, we can make some noise and pull an upset in the first round.
Well, looks like it to me, man. You guys look really good the other night. John, great to meet you and your brother and your staff. I really appreciate it. And I'd like to follow you guys through the tournament. We'll go as far as we can. And if I can't do a game, I sure would like to talk with you as we can.
Absolutely. It's been great talking to you. We look forward to talking to you more in the future.
All right, Coach, thanks a lot, and best of luck to you.
Thanks again.
All right. Good night, John. That is John Gardner, who is the coach of the Linfield Pioneers in Division II Hockey. And this is MSONewsSports.com. All right, and we're back live. I talked with Coach Gardner just a little bit before we went on the air as he was headed to the Garden to watch the Bruins. Nick Kukuru, the Gloucester Times sports editor, is on the phone now. Hi, Nick.
Hey, how's it going?
We're doing gruel very well. Tim is not in studio again, but I'll have him on later. Nick, just talking with Coach Gardner about that Gloucester-Linfield hockey game the other night, and that is it was very reminiscent of the Peabody-Gloucester game a couple of weeks before, same outcome, but really excellent, excellent old-time rock'em sock'em high school hockey for a fan to watch.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it just worked out. You know, we were hoping for that game. You know, two good teams going at it, and, you know, they both played like it was a tournament game. You got to respect that that desperation that Linfield showed, down two goals in the second period to, you know, fight back to tie it in a game that they didn't really need to get in. And honestly, I don't even know if it improves their seats, but that took a lot of heart to come back and tie that game up.
Yeah, Coach Gardner of Linfield was saying that his team has not ever given up so many two-on-ones as they did the other night, and that's a tribute to, I think, to Gloucester's heart, because they were muscled around a lot, but they were not intimidated, and they kept coming back.
Yeah, that's Gloucester's game. I mean, they play such a great up-and-down game. I mean, in all my years covering Gloucester, even though that great 2018 that won the NEC, I don't think I've ever seen them, generate as many odd-man rushes as they do this season. I mean, I think it all starts with Alex Zenas back in the defensive zone. I mean, he gets the puck out of his zone so quickly, and he gets it out to, you know, one of his forwards in the neutral zone and set up a break. It's unbelievable. I mean, breakaways, too. They get a ton of breakaways as well.
Yeah, you made a point the other night, Nick, on our broadcast when you said that Alex not only can take the puck out, but he sort of surveys the scene. Is it better to pass? Is it better for me to take it out? And he decides, in a split second which to do, and almost invariably it's the right decision.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he's kind of like, the quarterback. He's kind of like Tom Brady reading the defense. He makes those decisions quickly, and, pretty much every time it's the right decision. And it's tough, too, when you're defending. When he has the puck, you got to respect his speed coming up the ice, because he can start the rush on his own. And then when he has that passing ability, it just makes him such a dynamic player.
Well, I think we're going to have a great Division II hockey tournament. A lot of good teams representing schools here on the North Shore, Cape Ann League and the Northeastern Conference as well. But across the divisions, Division I, II, and III, we've got some good representation, so it should be fun.
Yeah, absolutely. That's why I kind of find Gloucester is one of the most fascinating teams, interesting teams in the tournament, because, you get into the tournament, sometimes it can get very defensive, as we saw last year in the tournament as a whole. A lot of low-scoring games, and as we know, Gloucester likes to really push the pace and score a lot of goals. So it's going to be very interesting, seeing how, these good tournament teams, handle that offense.
All right, what's the prospects for the other Cape Ann high school team that's in the tournament?
Well, that Gloucester boys basketball, 10-10 at the moment, and I haven't got an update yet. I don't think they've done yet, but they are currently tied with Masco, so they'll definitely have a coin flip with them in the 17-18 seed. But Chelsea, which is currently the 16 seed, is 10-9 and has its final game tonight.
Mm-hmm.
If Chelsea loses, Gloucester has a 1-3 chance of a home game in the prelims.
Okay.
So that would be interesting. If Chelsea wins, Chelsea wraps up the 16 seed, plays the winner of the Gloucester-Masco coin flip.
Okay.
In the 16-17 game. So that's going to be interesting. I think Gloucester should be able to... The only way that Gloucester could play Masconomics is if Chelsea loses tonight. I think that's probably their best matchup of the two possible opponents. And I believe the other team up in that 15 seed is Reading, who plays in the Middlesex League, which is a tough league. But again, Gloucester knocked off a Middlesex League team in the prelims last year. So that's going to be very interesting in that prelim round. They're going to be in for a battle. And then, whoever wins gets rewarded with Salem and the
first
round.
Yeah, great. All right, Nick, we're sort of in the doldrums right now. There's not a lot of wind blowing, so what do you got scheduled in the paper this week?
Yeah, a couple features lined up. We have one coming up in Wednesday's paper. Actually, I talked to John Philpott this afternoon. Believe it or not, I thought it was pretty amazing. John is going to be the first Gloucester boys basketball player to play in three separate state tournaments.
Wow.
That's very interesting there. He was a you come off the bench as a sophomore, and, you know, obviously last year he's a key contributor, and this year, you know, he's a key contributor, one of the best players of the last two seasons. And also hoping to, I haven't talked to him yet, but hoping to catch up with our former Gloucester standout, Jeff Oliveira, later this week. He is over at Pingree, and they're having an unbelievable season. They're 18-2, I want to say, and he's starting on the backcourt for them, right in the forefront of their success. He was an awesome player at Gloucester, you know, left to go to Pingree for his last year, and he's picked up right where he left off there. I believe he actually just got his 1,000th point last week.
So that's 3 years in a row Gloucester basketball has made the tournament, boys basketball?
Yeah, first time in program history they've made it 3 years in a row.
Well, let's give Coach Cahill some credit for that, shouldn't we?
Absolutely should. I agree completely. I mean, you know, they're prepared. They're prepared every night. You know, he uses the talent at his disposal as well as he can.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they don't have an easy road, especially, you know, with Gloucester. I know that, you know, I mean, I only graduated about 15 years ago, but there's 100 fewer kids, you know, in each graduating class now than there was
right
then. And they're in the NEC small now, so it's a tough road to the tournament. You don't have much room for error at all, especially with, you know, you got to play six crossover games, and those crossover games were buried pretty much every other team in the area. And, you know, Gloucester was able to scrape out a couple wins, you know, including a big one over Beverly, who I believe is 14-6 on the season finished up. So, I mean, they certainly earned that tournament bid. Now they're certainly battle tested heading into it.
Absolutely. I think that was a big difference maker getting that game. And you're right, Nick, Gloucester. I think there are only two other schools who are smaller than Gloucester now in the entire NEC.
I want to say Fargus, Winthrop, Swanskin might still
yeah.
be smaller.
Yeah, you're right. Three others. Yeah. You're right. And that says a lot because even when Gloucester was big, they couldn't put together 3 years like this. So that's
yeah.
a great job by Coach Cahill. Okay, Nick, we look forward to seeing what's in the paper this week, and I'll see you somewhere on the ice.
Absolutely will.
All right, Nick, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Definitely. Have a good rest of the week.
Take care, Nick. You as well. That is Nick Kukuru, who is the Gloucester Times Sports Editor. All right, one more quick break. Whew, I need to get some water here. We'll come back and check in with Tim Kearns, our MSO Sports Analyst Extraordinaire.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. And if you're thinking about replacing the windows in your home, please see the Anderson Woodwright replacement windows. Why Anderson? With low E-glass, low-maintenance exteriors, and rich wood interiors, you can turn simple window replacement into significant home improvement. See the Anderson Woodwright replacement windows on display at Moynihan Lumber in North Reading, Beverly, and Plastow, New Hampshire.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Time now for our baseball insider. Joining us, Andy Carboni. And, Andy, we're talking Red Sox right now for sure. And the biggest story, and I do mean big, the big story is Pablo Sandoval reporting to spring training with a lot of Pablo Sandoval, I guess. What's your take on all of this?
Well, the panda looks nice and cozy underneath that shirt. He certainly has a little extra, but to me, he looks like he did last year. I don't see any major difference. Maybe he added the 10 pounds, but... You know, same body type as he was, and same body type he had when he won three World Series in San Francisco. I mean, this guy's not going to come in, you know, looking like Ted Williams when he was a rookie, like a toothpick. It is what it is. They knew what they were getting when they signed this guy. It's no mystery that he plays at a heavy weight. And, you know, you get the Red Sox saying they told him to lose weight. He was saying yesterday in his press conference and never said it. Well, you know, he said, she said, stuff going on, but, you know, Pablo's Pablo. You bought the goods. You knew what it was on the shelf when you bought it. This guy's nothing more. The guy's hit 260 to 280, 15 home runs max. He might drive in 80. And, you know, average defense. And you hope that he gets into the playoffs because he has a tremendous postseason stat line. That's what they're paying for, is if they ever get to the playoffs, that he all of a sudden turns into a player that's, you know, above and beyond what he does during the regular season.
Right. So it will never be Sandoval the splinter. That's not going to happen.
Absolutely not. Nope.
No,
he's enjoying his enchiladas and his tacos, and that's it.
Oh, man, Andy. And Dave Dombrowski, the general manager, basically was saying today, I believe it was, that, hey, we just don't expect him to come in svelte. And there's another word you don't really hear around him too much. But maybe we're making too much out of this. But it did seem like he copped a little attitude when I saw the interview over the weekend with him. So We'll see. All right, let's move on to another.
Yeah, we'll see.
Let's move on to Hanley Ramirez. The update?
Well, the update, he had the weekend off. He got to take the yes for the weekend off. Well, he should probably be on the backfield there working on playing a position he's never played before, but he needed time off to do God knows what. He's had the whole offseason off. But showed up to camp, threw his baseman's glove. He's got a used glove from Mike Napoli that was left behind. This is going to be another train wreck, plain and simple. He thought him running around left field was the palm of the last year. This is going to be even worse. He's going to forget to go cover first base when there's a guy on base with pickoffs. He's not going to be able to throw the ball in bunt plays. He's going to range too far to his right and get to Pedroia's way. It's just going to be a mess. I don't see this is not going to last too long. The phantom injury with Hanley will prop up probably 2 weeks into the season. He'll also have a pulled ribcage muscle or something, and he'll be sitting down for a while. I can't see this being a positive by any way, shape, or form.
You know, Andy, we've talked about two players. I already have a headache here. We haven't. Now, John Farrell came back in the last week. He's back as manager. And there's some buzz, people, he's got a lot of headaches and stuff to work out here. When you look at his record, Andy, you and I talked about this the other day, what is it? This is his fifth season with the Sox or fourth?
It'll be his fourth.
Fourth, okay. But he has two last place finishes, correct, in his three seasons. Is that?
Yeah, he had his world championship and then two trips to the cellar.
So I don't know what's going to happen here, but on a positive note, David Price has to be a positive note coming into camp the way that he's come into camp.
Yeah, so far he has. He's saying all the right things, talking to the media with no problems. He's being very cordial with the fans. He's staying late signing autographs, introduced himself to all the players, wants to be involved. So far, so good. I mean, there was an article written in the Globe, I think it was Sunday, about how Eduardo Rodriguez is really looking forward to work with him. Price has already talked to him, so you think that's going to rub off nicely on the young left-hander to learn from David Price. So, no negatives there. I mean,
I'm also
seeing a pitch, and hopefully he's going to come as advertised.
Yeah, you broke up just for a moment there, but we got you back. I think we're fine. And their closer, Craig Kimbrell, he's an established closer, and that'll be a strength for the team as well, right?
Oh, no question about it. He comes in with a very good pedigree. He's 4 years in the league now, and he has a K-9 rate around 14, maybe closer to 15. He's been an all-star, I think, three out of his four seasons. So, should be a dominant closer coming in. It should, lengthen the bullpen for you, gives you a little more depth. It'll be interesting to see how Koji comes back from the wrist injury. But if something ever happened to Kimbrel, you still have Koji around to close games. I think the dark horse in the bullpen this year is going to be Carson Smith, who they trade from Seattle. He's a hard-throwing writer, and he put up a nice number. He filled in as a closer for a while for Seattle, did a nice job. So, bullpen could be a strike. Thanks.
Andy, I got one more thing on the Red Sox, and that would be the injury update. What are you hearing as far as injuries on the team?
So far, so good. Not hearing really any major issues. The only thing that's kind of popped up has been the rehabbing progress of Christian Vasquez behind the plate, coming back from Tommy John surgery. He seems to be saying he's ready and raring to go, throwing the ball to the bases, and he wants to get in there, and he wants to be with the team come opening day. Really talks to the Red Sox, I think he's going to be heading down to Pawtucket to get some at-bats and get back once the group, but he clearly wants to fight for playing time and being on the Major League roster to start the season. So just keep an eye on him, I think, is starting things off, see how he's progressing.
Gotcha. And last question, going
beyond the Red Sox here, looking at signings. Now, we were talking before we started this that there are a number of established major leaguers that have not signed with teams yet. Tell us that story.
There are. One got signed over the weekend. Pitcher Giovanni Gallardo for Baltimore signed a 3-year, $35 million contract. He's one of these free agents that come, if you do sign him, you have to give up a number one draft pick. Because he was offered a contract by his original team. He could have stayed with the team he was with, Texas, for a qualifying offer. I think it's around $15.5 million. He declined it, so he wanted to test the waters. So if someone does want to pick him up, the team that does has to give up their first-round draft pick. It allows some of these to kind of hang around for a lot longer than they would during an off-season. Two other players still out there now without jobs. Of note, Dexter Fowler, center field the last year for the Cubs. and shortstop Ian Desmond, who was with Washington last year. Desmond's a 2020 player, 20 home runs, stolen bases, and Fowler put up similar numbers, both very adequate defensive players. These guys are established. They've been in the league now 3, 4, 5 years, but they don't have work right now, and that's a little alarming. Someone could get one of these players really on the cheap to add to their roster to start the season, but they're talking the new collective bargaining agreement that's going to, they'll start talking about that during the season this year, that first-round draft pick compensation for a free agent. They're going to try to work that out a little bit so the situation doesn't happen to players going forward, kind of be hanging out the dry when the spring training is underway.
Gotcha. All right, Andy, good talking with you, and we'll check back again very soon as the everyone's in camp starting on Tuesday. So, all right, again, thanks for joining us.
Sounds great, Bill. Anytime.
Andy Carboni, our baseball insider here on MSONewsSports.com.
Hi, this is Jeff Klickstein, General Manager at Moore GMC in Danvers. Did you know that we're a family-owned and operated dealer that's been serving the North Shore since 1969? When you come to see us, you're treated like part of our family. GMC has a great lineup with Sierra pickups, the ever-popular Acadia, and the redesigned 2016 Terrain. We are the dealer that will provide you with the best buying experience possible. We are conveniently located off Route 128 at Exit 23, 80 High Street in Danvers. I personally invite all of you to come in, come visit us, see why our customers keep coming back for all their automotive needs.
All right. Always with the last word now, it is Tim Kearns. Hi, Coach.
Good evening, Rick. How are you?
I'm doing well. We had a wicked full schedule here tonight. Gary Larrabee rejoined us, and talking about high school basketball, which was awesome, we talked with the Marblehead hockey coach, the Linfield hockey coach. We talked with Nick Kukuru about all the tournament possibilities. Bill Newell and Andy Carboni had Red Sox baseball, and now we're going to clean out the attic, and you're in the anchor spot, Tim. What catches your eye in sports right now?
So I've batted ninth before, so it's not a position that I'm much familiar with, Rick.
Okay. okay.
I'll say, high school sports is the regular seasons are gearing down, and of course, those teams that have made the tournament, those teams that are on the bubble are fighting for improved position. They're fighting for momentum, and certainly it really brings out a lot more intensity on the part of many of the kids at this point in the season for those that are in that situation. Certainly kudos to Bobby Jackson and the Marblehead hockey team that have had just a phenomenal season, and they head to the tournament with a tremendous amount of momentum that could propel them all the way to the top once again. Gloucester basketball, boys basketball, fighting for position in the tournament. They're down at the bottom with Masconomet. There was a game going on tonight, I heard, that could crowd the field, that there could actually be a coin toss if the three teams have similar records. So, they're definitely on the bubble as they're getting into the tournament, so we'll have to wait and see. The boys hockey team at Gloucester, I think a better season than a lot of people anticipated. They started out really scoring a lot of goals. They had a dip, but they got back on the right side of the track, and Coach Lyons has had those kids flying the last couple of weeks, which again is so critically important for any team as you head into the playoffs. You want to be playing with some momentum that your confidence is high going into the tournament. You don't want to end with a few losses because that could impact your confidence going against either a lower ranked foe. And especially if you're one of the lower ranks, you've got to have that confidence thinking you can take on the better teams and come out with a W.
All right, Coach, we're going to turn to the pros now, and I have a pun ready. Are you ready?
Oh, God. I'm standing. I may not be able to take it.
All right, well, maybe you should sit down. I want you to weigh in on Pablo Sandoval.
One of the biggest mistakes that the Sox have made in the last 5 years, I thought so when they signed him. He's not a big regular season hitter, and yeah, he's been a great postseason hitter when the Giants have made it and won the World Series, but you got to get to the playoffs first. And they needed more consistent offense and a bit more defense than they got out of him at third base and at the plate last year. He's the worst right-handed hitter in the league last year. Now he wants to go back to switch hitting. They're going to butt heads. He hasn't lost any weight. He hasn't even really practiced any baseball by his own admission up until the last couple of weeks. So, you really got to question his commitment to all the money that they're paying that guy. But just a big feeling. He doesn't have a, a big season this year. People are going to be all over the Red Sox for keeping him. And I just, for me personally, I just don't see the Hanley Ramirez first base experiment working out. I just don't see it. I hope he proves me wrong. He's a lively bat when he's injury free, but he's injury prone. Again, to me, not another. It wasn't a good signing by the Red Sox. You know, he's temperamental. You knew that when you got rid of him. Yeah, good hitter, yeah. But he was hitting in the National League, and he's not, you know, he hasn't proven anything to me. He couldn't play left field. He probably can't play first base. So what are you going to do with him?
Coach, Andy Carbone just had a really good point, I thought, about his playing first base because of the inexperience and his really lack of range. He's probably going to miss some throws, of course. He's probably not going to make some throws, you know, on instinct in the infield or at least on experience. And then the other thing is he's probably going to get into the way of Dustin Pedroia from time to time.
Yeah, that's the point I was just going to get after, Rick. You know, as a shortstop, he used to go in deep in the holes for ball. And he's got to break himself with that, and he's got to realize the range of Dustin Pedroia, how fast he actually gets the balls hit in the middle. And he's going to have to learn to play the base, to recognize the ball, to play with communication with Dustin Pedroia. And, you know, just watching him take ground balls, I mean, he doesn't square up to the ball. He's taking it from the side. I mean, he's an error waiting to happen at first base. He really is.
Well, I mean, if you're not strong at the corners, you better be strong up the middle, I guess, huh?
Yeah, exactly. And luckily, you know, they are going to be strong up the middle. And you got to hope that Pedroia stays injury-free. You know, this year, as he's gotten older, he gets nicked up and he misses significant time. And they just can't have that this year.
I think
they just can't.
I think the story at catcher is going to be interesting, too, and we'll see. We'll see how David Price comes along, and one of my great hopes, Tim, and maybe I'm just whistling in the dark, but I like Joe Kelly, and I think maybe this is the year he'll really develop.
Well, for the money they're all getting, all those pitches are getting paid, they better get back into form because, again, this could be the biggest financial, you know, bugaboo since the Red Sox sold Babe Ruth, spending all these millions of dollars on all these players that have had, you know, one season of or one aspect of their careers outstanding, and we overpaying for it. We didn't have any bidding wars against those guys. We bid against ourselves, and that's just wasteful spending on the part of the management.
Oh, yeah. All right. Well, Coach, anything else catch your eye? I know that, what was it, the Daytona 500 was an incredible finish yesterday.
Yeah, I was listening to some NASCAR reports this afternoon, and they couldn't stop raving about the intensity of the action, how it just kept the fans, you know, right on the edge of the seat to the very last millimeter, basically. So
yeah.
That definitely, you know, keeps your fan base happy. It draws new fans to the sport, you know, and doesn't hurt your television ratings either. So congratulations to Mr. Winston, who won it. Certainly, it's a great accomplishment in his career. And, you know, sets him on the road for a lot of good things.
All right, Coach, I'm going to need you here next week. We're going to talk to the Philadelphia Flyer assistant general manager. That's Barry Hanrahan.
Yep.
And sadly, Barry's dad passed away this weekend, or Barry would have been with us tonight. Firefighter Hanrahan, a former firefighter in Gloucester, passed away this weekend. So Gary was attending to family business, of course, right through tomorrow. But Gary will be back with the Flyers, and next Monday is the NHL trading deadline. So we're going to have Barry Hanrahan from the Philadelphia Flyers. I'm really excited about that, having a National Hockey League team executive on our program. He was on once before, but I need you here if you can make it, Coach.
Well, you know, if my heart's working properly and the heart of my truck is working properly, I'll be there.
Okay, all right. Well, I know your heart will be in it, that's for sure. And no more puns, okay?
No more puns.
All right, Tim. Hey, listen, take care, brother, and I'll talk to you later.
All right, Rick.
Thanks, Coach. All right. That's Tim Kearns, who is our MSO sports analyst and all-around good guy. He's our sports ambassador and salesperson and everything else. Appreciate it. All right, that'll do it for tonight. Thanks to all of my guests, Marblehead hockey coach Bob Jackson, Gary Larrabee, sports writer, sports historian, covering high school basketball for the moment. Linfield hockey coach John Gardner. Nick Kukrow, the sports editor of the Gloucester Times. And to Bill Newell and Andy Carbone on baseball. And, of course, to Tim Kearns, thank you one and all. Thank you for listening. Thank you for listening on demand. Please pass the word about MSO New Sports. Please, msonewsports@gmail.com is our email address. We have Trending Now with Josh Arnold returning this Thursday, and of course, North Shore Today, every day on MSO News Sports, hosted by Bill Newell. That's it for me. On behalf of Bill Proposky, I'm Rick Moore. Bye-bye.
This is MSO Radio at msonewsports.com.